Third hour is a busy hour. Eric Hosmer of the Padres joins me in about 40 past. Program, again, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. My next guest, my man's resume is getting longer and longer and longer. I got to get right to it. NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston, boxing analyst for DAZN, host of the Crossover Podcast, SI Boxing with Chris Mannix, and Inside the Paint on SI TV. Friend of the program. Remember, you can catch the Joshua Ruiz upset of the year on demand anytime on the sports streaming platform DAZN. You can see Chris Mannix calling the return of Triple G against Steve Rolls this Saturday, June 8th, also live on DAZN. My man, Chris Mannix. Chris, what's up? How you feeling?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Dude, I got to ask you, before we get into everything that happened, I'm great. Over the weekend, everything you covered, where are you right now, and what have the last 48 hours been like for you?
I'm resting comfortably back in Boston for a couple of days. They've been wild, you know, from the Ruiz fight, which we'll talk. And it's funny, I call it the Ruiz fight now. I mean, I never called it the Ruiz fight.
Right.
At this moment, to game two and everything that unfolded there. But it picks up again this week. I mean, back in New York on Wednesday for Golovkin, and then on a flight on Sunday back to Toronto for game five.
You're killing it. Stay strong. Chris Mannix, my guest. All right, starting with Saturday night at MSG, for those who did not know going into that fight Saturday, exactly who was Andy Ruiz Jr. before the fight?
Hey, look, Andy Ruiz was a good fighter. One of the things that bothers me in the aftermath was, butterbean type comparisons and, got beaten by some fat slob from, a rough and rowdy competition. I mean, Andy Ruiz, for the last, 8-9 years, was a very good prospect. Top Rank had him signed to their stable. They cut ties with him because it just wasn't working out. He wasn't as committed to training as they would have liked, but he's picked up working under Al Haymon, and, he won a fight, 6 weeks ago against Alexander Dimitrenko, a solid fringe contender, and he went into this fight a heavy underdog, but not someone that didn't at least have a pathway to potentially winning. Now that he's won, though, he has fulfilled all the promise that he showed at various times in past points of his career. I mean, he really went out and put on just one of the best performances as a huge underdog that I've ever seen.
Chris Mannix joining us. I was going to say, not only won, but how he won. Let's go back to that third round. When Joshua dropped Ruiz in the third round, what did you think was going to happen after that?
I thought it was over. And, this is, what you say in these broadcasts lives on forever. I think right after the knockdown, I said, and I'll paraphrase myself, but it was said, Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Everybody watch this. And 10 seconds later, Anthony Joshua was on the canvas. And I talked to Joshua in the ring afterwards and, people in his team, and they didn't believe that Andy Ruiz could recover from that type of shot. Andy Ruiz had never been knocked down before. He took a brutal left hook, the kind of left hook that stunned Alexander Povetkin in Joshua's last fight in September. But Ruiz got up, he smiled, and he was okay. And Joshua went in there way too reckless. He went in there looking for the kill, and Ruiz was well enough to punch back. And when he did, he exposed the biggest flaw in Anthony Joshua's game, and that's his chin. He doesn't have a great heavyweight chin. And when he caught Joshua the first time, he discombobulated him and put him down two times in that round. I mean, Jim, that round, hands down, round of the year. I'm not sure that any round for the rest of this year can top what we saw on Saturday.
I'm going to say, Chris, that's one of the best rounds I've seen in several years. That was an amazing round. Chris Mannix joining us. You answered my next question. I was going to say, Ruiz gets up, and he said after the fact that I'd never been knocked down before, and that got my attention, and then it made me hungrier. Joshua very clearly was not the same fighter after he got caught that same shot. Then you get Chris to the seventh round. Ruiz knocks Joshua down twice. What was the atmosphere like inside that building during that round?
Oh, it was it's amazing because I would say 80 to 85% of the crowd were either Brits who came over from the UK or, Joshua supporters in the arena for the fight. So Ruiz goes down and the place just explodes. It's pandemonium in there, as everyone expects a Joshua knockout to come. But when Ruiz countered and put Joshua down, you could just hear the sighs or the O's and the deflation really come out of the building. It was something to see and something to hear, you know, being there. I mean, there was so many, you know, it's kind of funny, like, everybody in that arena was drunk at that point. I mean, that's just the way it went with the Joshua supporters. There's no worse way to lose a buzz than to see the guy you came to see fight go down in the way that Anthony Joshua went down. But this fight, Jim, was decided in the seventh round officially, but it was over after the third. Anthony Joshua did not recover after that third round.
It's one thing, Chris, to drive across town to see a fight like that. It's another to come across the pond to see a fight like that. Now, what about the sport overall? How big of a loss? We know it's a big loss for Joshua, obviously. How big of a loss? And I love Ruiz. I love the story. But how big of a loss is that for the sport of boxing overall?
Well, it's devastating in that we're not going to get the Wilder Joshua fight that we should have gotten. I mean, the politics of boxing, the greediness of some people in boxing prevented that Joshua and Wilder fight from happening this year anyway, regardless of what happened on Saturday night. But now that Joshua went down in the way that he did, it's never going to quite be what it was. We won't get two undefeated fighters against each other for heavyweight supremacy. Short term, I think it's good for the sport because, you know, if Joshua had won that fight in the third round, if Ruiz had not been able to recover, he would have gone on. He would have fought a mandatory against a guy named Kubrat Pulev, who nobody outside of the inner circle of boxing really knows who he is. It would have been overseas, and very few people would have watched it. Now, you're going to get the rematch in the UK, and it's going to be an afternoon fight in the U.S., but everybody's going to watch it. I mean, as the build-up to that fight, it's going to be, can Andy Ruiz do it again, this time in front of, you know, 60 to 70,000 Brits in either O2 Arena or in Wembley Stadium. I'm not sure where that fight's going to take place, but it's going to be a raucous pro-Joshua crowd across the pond. And Andy Ruiz, this kind of aloof guy that doesn't seem affected by anything, is that going to carry over when he moves over to the UK? Now there's a buildup for that type of fight. So it's bitterly disappointing that we're not going to get Joshua Wilder as it was before Saturday night. But I think it creates even more excitement for Joshua's next fight against Ruiz in the fall.
Chris Mannix joining us for a few more moments. All right, so why don't we quickly shift to Toronto. Golden State Warriors, Chris, have had some really important games over the past few years against the Thunder, against the Rockets, but those have been late in the series. How huge was last night's game two and for them to avoid going down 0-2?
Yeah, I can't remember a time when there was that much urgency for Golden State to win a game two and to even a series and not fall behind two games to none. I mean, they needed to win that one. I mean, Toronto's no joke. I mean, we know that by now. And they go up 2-0. I find it hard to believe that the Warriors, who are without Kevin Durant for I don't know how long. I mean, it's yeah, you see reports about Kevin Durant coming back at some point midway through the series. At this point, you're wondering, even if he does come back, what's he going to look like and how much is he going to be able to give them, given the significance of that injury? So they had to win that game. It became even more important when you saw Klay Thompson come up lame with that hamstring injury. And, you know, Klay has vowed he's going to play in game three, but I don't know, man. I mean, hamstring injuries are the real deal. And if he couldn't come back after that, I wonder what it's going to look like and feel like sometime today, 24 hours after it's passed. But it was critical. And I think we saw, Jim, a different side of the Warriors. I mean, we've seen Golden State bury you in three-pointers, whether it's Durant or Curry or Thompson. This was different. This was, you know, 33 assists on 37 shots, 22 assists in the second half. All their buckets in the second half came off assists. This was mid-range jump shots. Iguodala, Curry going to the basket, Draymond Green going for 17. They showed, you know, a little bit of the diversity of their offensive game in the second half of that one. And I think that will at least give the guys that are playing some confidence going into game three. But I don't look at this series as being over by any stretch. I think this is still a coin flip type of series, given what the kind of injuries Golden State's dealing with.
Yeah, Chris, my point was, because of that, and because I have so much respect for Toronto, that was a gut-wrenching loss for Toronto, but as I mentioned, that series was not over after Game 1. It's also not over after Game 2. The one guy you and I have not talked about is DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I really thought he was just too big of an ask. I mean, nothing against Boogie, but he had two pretty significant injuries. Watching his 8 minutes in game one, Chris, I thought he's just not going to be a factor. So how do you explain what he was able to do in 28 minutes last night and the impact that he had on both ends?
Yeah, he controlled the defensive glass, 10 rebounds, 9 of them on the defensive end. They needed it because there were a lot of long rebounds popping up there from those Toronto jump shots. And, you know, that without Kevin Looney in the second half, with him dealing with that shoulder injury or chest injury, whatever it is, they needed him to go out there and play. And that was, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins went from a luxury to a necessity in the span of like 12 minutes. I mean, they had to have him out there. It's nice having Andrew Bogut, but they needed Cousins and what he brings, you know, passing offensively. I thought he was excellent at moving the basketball on that end, and defensively coming down with rebounds. I think Toronto, if Looney winds up missing any significant time, Toronto's got to find a way to exploit him. I mean, they've got to find a way to go at Cousins in that pick and roll. I mean, we saw how Houston did it a couple of times in the regular season and in other games. You've got to go at DeMarcus Cousins and make him defend off the dribble against your guards, or else he is going to be too big an asset for them on the other end of the floor.
Oh, there's no doubt they'll do that or try to do that to him. Chris, one last thought. I got to mention Draymond Green because he's such a polarizing figure among some fans. But when you consider the fact that he was one assist away from his fourth straight triple-double and what he's doing on the defensive end, what do you make of how well he's played, especially since Kevin Durant went down?
I just think that he's been asked to step into a bigger role, and it's a role that he has been craving and wanted, and he stepped into it and has done an excellent job. I mean, he had the triple-double in game one, but he was kind of laughed at after that. I mean, he's one of the weaker triple-doubles, people said, and, you know, they look at him as this great defensive player, and Pascal Siakam just went off. I think Draymond, you know, I think he took that personally, and I think he took the challenge even more personally of taking on Siakam and shutting him down. They did. I mean, Siakam was 5 of 18 in that game, 12 points. Draymond was everywhere, had some good defensive possessions against Kawhi Leonard. You know, the triple-double numbers are great, but when Draymond is out there forcing his opponents to shoot low percentages in the way that Siakam did and forcing Kawhi Leonard to work extra hard when he's matched up with Draymond, he's doing his job. I mean, everything else offensively is really just gravy to me. When he's able to do that defensively and be such a force like he was in game two, he's such a major asset for Golden State. I think over the course of the last few seasons, Jim, I think we've kind of forgotten just how good this guy is. I mean, he may not be, and scouts will tell me, that they don't see him as a guy that can defend threes and fives in the same way that he used to. But when he's matched up with fours, even those kind of springy fours like Pascal Siakam has morphed into, he is still extremely, extremely good. And we saw that in game two the other night.
I think the guy literally reinvented himself on the run when he lost all that weight. And to your point about him taking it personally, Chris, I think he does. I think he takes everything personally, and I think all the great ones do. Remember, you can catch the Joshua Ruiz Upset of the Year on demand anytime on the sports streaming platform DAZN. And you want to make sure you check out Chris Mannix calling the return of Triple G is Saturday, June 8th, which is also live on DAZN. My man, I know you got to rest and recover. But again, Chris, you sound great. I'm proud of you. Stay on it, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Anytime.
You got it, bud. Chris Mannix, he is grinding it out and doing great work. 1-800-636-8686. All right, we've got an open segment coming up next. I want to talk about these so-called dueling sound bites after that game last night. We're going to wrap the show in the final segment with Eric Hosmer of the Padres. I may have time for a phone call or two. 1-800-636-8686. All right, this is the time of year where you want to make sure that you're ready to watch a game, right? All important games. So you go to your man cave, you check out a game, but you can't find your remote. Like, there's the DVD remote, there's the streaming remote. Where exactly is the TV remote? It's time for a control center by Cavo. It's the one universal remote that does it all. Control Center manages all of your content so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use voice-controlled remote. Plus, you can turn on the TV from anywhere with the Cavo mobile app. Setup is easy. Plug in your streamer, your sound system, your cable or your satellite, even your game console, and Control Center will handle the rest. Make life in that man cave easier with Control Center by Cavo. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with the one-year service plan included with the promo code ROAM. $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with the promo code ROAM at CAAVO.com. Control Center is available at CAAVO.com. Best Buy service plan is required. First 45 days free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cavo. One remote does it all. Cavo.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, SmackHawk 25, proudly presented by my pals at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is giving every SmackHawk caller that makes it on air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. Now, I can't tell you who's going to win the SmackHawk, but I can guarantee a first-class experience with Vivid Seats because they back up every purchase with a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. There you go. My pals, proud sponsor. Also, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Got some good phone calls on hold. Do not hang up. Eric Hosmer, next segment. So, Golden State 109, Toronto 104, right? Now it's all tied up. Now they're headed back to Oakland for Game 3 Wednesday. But if you thought the pyrotechnics ended when Iggy flushed that Spalding and blew up the shot clock and game two in the process, then you hit the rack way too early. Because the grand finale of the fireworks show went down in the bowels of the Scotiabank Arena with two of the best post-game sound bites you're ever going to hear. By now, we all know that Drake has made the finals about one thing. Drake. In game one, he trolled Steph with a Del Curry Raptors gamer. He appeared to call Draymond, quote, trash after Toronto won on Thursday night. But that was then. This is now. Drake had to wear game two, not just from his courtside seat, but as he was leaving the gym through the tunnel. Because unfortunately for Drake, both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant were posted up outside the locker room waiting for their guys to come back one by one. And then Drake happened by. As soon as somebody tipped off Klay that Drake was getting within earshot, listen carefully, Klay loaded up and lobbed this verbal Molotov cocktail from around the corner.
See you in the Bay, Aubrey. You weren't talking tonight, were you, lawman?
That's incredible. I mean, keep in mind, we're talking about laid-back Cali Klay Thompson. Hold up. We're talking about laid-back SoCal Klay Thompson. He just hit Drake with, quote, "See you in the Bay, Aubrey. You ain't talking tonight, were you, bum ass?"
See you in the Bay, Aubrey. You weren't talking tonight, were you, bum ass?
See you in the Bay, Aubrey. You ain't talking tonight, were you, bum ass? I can't decide which part of that blast is better. Hitting Drake with his legal first name, or calling him a bum ass. Time for first. And especially coming from Klay. That's what makes it so amazing. The only thing better than that coming from Klay would have been that coming from Steph. Imagine Steph just waiting around the corner. Yo, bum ass. But Klay's almost as good. Find me a better word than bum ass. Find me a better angle than him Aubreying Drake. And Drake heard it all because he stopped and he went back. Back and forth with Klay and KD for a minute before Klay added the following. Quote, "That was light work, too. You're lucky I popped my hammy." End quote. Best part of the exchange was how whack Drake looked standing there in a custom hoodie with Macaulay Culkin's screaming face on it from the movie Home Alone, which was meant to troll KD by inferring the question, "Where's Kevin?" The answer to the question is right in front of you, Aubrey. He's right there running junk on you with Klay, who just hit you with a bum-ass gloss. And that exchange could not have gone worse for Drake. But that's what happens when you invite that kind of heat, which he did. Not only did the Raptors lose that game, but Drake lost the night. And big game Clay went for 25 before getting dinged. And 25 and one body bagging after he buried Aubrey the bum ass in the tunnel. Unfortunately for Aubrey, Clay told Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports that he fully expects to go for game three back in Oakland. Let me say this. I am not a doctor. I was not there. I have not seen the MRI. I have no idea. I can only go by with what my two eyes saw. KD looked a hell of a lot more mobile to me in that tunnel than Clay did. But I don't know. We'll see. Then on top of that, you had Kawhi. Kawhi was on the podium answering questions about Andre Iguodala's dagger that sealed that game. The Raptors were down by two, playing for the steal, when they left Iggy wide open behind the three-point line. Steph Curry said the Raptors' defense was, quote, disrespectful because it appeared to intentionally discount Iggy on that play. And after Iguodala drained the most brass shot of the night with five critical seconds left on the shot clock that he could have bled out, Kawhi was asked, did they leave him open on purpose?
Did you want to see the ball in his hands in that situation compared to anybody else on the floor?
No, we wanted to see it in our hands. We wanted to get a steal.
Look up the definition of literal, and you'll see a picture of Kawhi's stone-faced mug. Dude just swatted that question into the upper deck. Didn't even blink. RIP, reporter guy. Did you want the ball in Iggy's hands in that situation compared to anyone else on the floor? No. We wanted to see the ball in our hands. We wanted to get a steal. No, we wanted to win the basketball game. So good. Anybody else would have rolled with the question, said something like, we were going to live and die with any long-range shot that left us with some time on the clock. But not Kawhi. Kawhi's not just anybody. Kawhi rocks New Balances and refuses to discuss his favorite Christmas memories around the holiday season. It's not even like he undressed the reporter with that question either. He just took it super literally and made the question sound even dumber by answering it so matter-of-factly.
Did you want to see the ball in his hands in that situation compared to anybody else on the floor?
No, we wanted to see it in our hands. We wanted to get a steal.
Game 2 was awesome. Game 2 post-game might have been even more awesome. Clay calling Drake, Aubrey, and a bum-ass was legendary. Bum-ass. Kawhi going full... God, the disdain, too. Bum-ass.
Bum-ass.
Incredible. Kawhi going full Kawhi on the podium, right up there with it. Sign me up for 5 more of these. I'm so glad this series isn't over. I just hope it's a really long series. Keep the cameras rolling. Always roll the cameras. This stuff is way too good. Good luck to both Aubrey and the reporter bouncing back in time for a Wednesday night game. We'll see how it plays out. Quickly, let me go to Grand Rapids. Maury in Grand Rapids. Good to have you, Maury. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for the vine, man. Say, listen, Jim, we're listening. I own a small company. My son works with me, and I brought him up right, Jim. He's a big fan of the show, and I'm like, dude, who do you got on the smack-off? I said, I got Rick in Buffalo, dude. I said, it's Rick's time. He says, no, man. Dad, I'm going with the BIC. I said, no kidding. All right, well, fair enough. And then you started talking about Rick making it about him and the BIC, and then did that profile, man, I was laughing. I'm got me all pumped up. I said, all right, here's the deal, fellas. It's a paid holiday, but you got to attend the smack off. So I'm calling it out right now, Jim. Jim, I got Rick in Buffalo winning the silver smack off edition. Romy, love the show. Thanks for the vine. I'm out.
Good man, Maury. Rack him. I like that on so many levels. Number one, he introduced the show to his son, so it's generational. Two, he's got a small company and said, hey, listen, everybody, you can have that day off. You can all have the day off as long as you watch and listen to the smack off. Did he say he'd pay them? Was that a paid day off? Paid holiday. Paid holiday. And he says he's got Rick, and his son has got the BIC. I love a father and son debating the smack off, but that's what sports is, right? Fathers pass it down to sons. They talk junk to each other. Same with the jungle. Fathers pass it down to sons. When we come back, Padres first baseman Eric Hosmer joins us. Told you it'd be a good day. I'm almost never wrong when I say that. I always have a good sense, good feel. Eric Hosmer next. First up, a sports update. Here it is. This is part of the show where we hit your ATP, the Ask the Pros. You submit your question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. And know that it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I am efforting an ATP. Meantime, Eric Hosmer will be joining me momentarily. I do have time, as I effort him as well, to take a phone call. We profiled Rick in Buffalo. Interestingly enough, Rick's wife, Mrs. Rick in Buffalo, is calling. And I'm not sure that she ever has. I'm not sure that I knew there was a Mrs. Rick. Although I had to assume. Let's find out. Mrs. Rick in Buffalo. Is that really you?
Hey, Jim. It is me. I just want to tell you that I'm sick and tired of my worthless, lazy husband calling your show. He can barely take out the trash and put food on the table, much less participate in your radio program. And to those two losers, 512 Lumber and Orion, hanging out at Lake McConaughey right now, you two lames couldn't catch a fish if it jumped out of the water and bit you in the ass. And Jim, if you care to put me in the smack off, I'll take my bum of a husband down. It'll be easy. I do it every day of the week anyhow. He's more scared of me than he is of the B.I.C.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So is it me or was that Mrs. Rick in Buffalo or was that Liz screaming like she was Mrs. Rick in Buffalo? Hey, Liz, you had me going for like a second. If that. I knew that was not Mrs. Rick. I didn't know who it was, but I knew it was not Mrs. Rick. It took me 1/1000th of 1 second to figure out that was Liz. Thankfully, we are joined right now by our guest. He is a first baseman for the San Diego Padres, a World Series champion, a World Baseball Classic champion, an All-Star, a Silver Slugger, a four-time Gold Glove winner. He leads the Padres with a .291 batting average, 31 runs, 34 runs batted in. Philadelphia is at San Diego tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific start. Eric Hosmer is my guest. Eric, it's good to have you back on. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing, man?
Good, good. On. It's been a little while, Eric. Great talking to you. Listen, you dropped a couple of tough ones in Miami. I know you've got Philadelphia coming in tonight. So how eager are you to get back to the park, get that taste out of your mouth as quickly as you can?
Yeah, we're definitely eager to get back, you know, the tough series, especially winning the first one and dropping the next two. So we understand we got a good team coming in. We got to pick it up a little bit. So I think everyone's a little eager to get back and get back to work.
Eric Hosmer joining us. All right, so you're in your second season with the Padres. So how is life for you with that team, and how do you like America's finest city?
It's awesome out here. I tell you what, the way of life out here, as far as off the field, it's one of the best setups you can have. Beautiful ballpark. The weather's obviously really good for your body, and it's really fun to play out here every day. But it's been fun to see this team grow. A lot of these guys last year were making their debuts in the big leagues, and you know now some of these guys, Framil Reyes and the Chris Paddock, and these guys are making a name for themselves in the league. So it's fun to see how far we've come in the year. And you know, I tell you what, it's been a big climb for these guys, and it looks good.
Eric Hosmer joining us. You know, a lot of those young guys you mentioned look to you. As an example, you've been on a tear lately, but your teammate Hunter Renfro said that, he said something I thought was really interesting, Eric. He said to the Union Tribune that when you were not hitting as well at the start of the season, quote, it was kind of cool to watch him struggle. You got to see what he does when he does struggle, to watch him put in the work, know it's going to come back and not panic. Even if he is struggling, you would never know it. He's always high energy. He's a lot of fun to be around, end quote. To me, that's really high praise of you as a leader. How do you make sure that if you're not hitting the way you want to be hitting, you still bring it to the park every single day as a leader and as a teammate?
Yeah, you know, this game, baseball can get on you mentally with the 162-game season. You just got to, you really just got to tell yourself at the start of the season that you trust your work for 162 games, and you know there's going to be ups, you know there's going to be downs, but you really just got to stay level-headed. You try and got to be the same guy, and you know, you got to be a good teammate and play hard every single day, and that's just basically the mentality I have. And you know, that's the work between the work I put in the offseason, the work I put in spring, and the day-to-day routine. I just trust that you know, over the long haul, that it'll end up working out. But you know, to hear that type of praise from a teammate especially means a lot. And you know, a lot of these guys are the same way. There's a couple guys that didn't start out the way they wanted to as well, and have turned it around and you know, continue to do the same thing I've done every day of the field.
Eric Hosmer joining us. Now, you and I have talked in the past about how big a part you were in changing that culture in Kansas City and building an expectation of winning. The results might not have shown up on the scoreboard the way you would have liked last year, but did you start to see some changes from a culture standpoint?
Yeah, you definitely, you know, I think at this point where we're at now this year, is we have a lot of the guys that we plan on being here for a while at the big league level now. So I think it's just different that way. These guys have confidence. These guys aren't scared. They give you everything they have, and that's the biggest thing. I think there's no fear in these guys' game. They go out, they play with swagger, they play with confidence, and that's what you know, everybody tries to continue to preach in the locker room there, to go out there and be yourself and have confidence in what we do. And you know, obviously the acquisition of Manny helped a lot. That really brought a lot of swagger to our team. And it's definitely a different feel this year compared to last year.
Eric Hosmer joining us. What about that? I mean, you made the decision, you come in. If we have time, I'll double back to that. But you mentioned Manny Machado. When the team goes out and they sign him before the start of the season, what was your personal reaction to that news? And then what kind of a message did that send the entire clubhouse?
That's exactly it. It just changes the message. It changes the feel around the whole organization. I think when you bring in a guy like Manny Machado, There's nothing about your club that says development. I think it's a win now attitude. It shows you that ownership in the front office is doing what they can for us to win. So, you know, now it becomes on the guys in the locker room and on the field to go out there and produce. So I think, you know, that's what it really did. It brought a swagger to our team, but at the same time, it brought a sense of urgency to us that, you know, we're in this thing and we got to go out there and compete ready to win every single day now.
San Diego Padre, Eric Hosmer, my guest. And then as a further extension of that, you and Machado had dinner with team executive chairman Ron Fowler to let him know, among other things, that you wanted Fernando Tatis Jr. on the roster. Now, Tatis is coming back from an injury at this moment, but at 20, what did you see in him to let you know that he was ready to be a part of that big league club?
Tatis is a guy that, you know, he's everything he does, whether it's on a baseball field or off the baseball field, he's going to be the best at whatever he does. It's amazing to see how talented he is at such a young age. And tools-wise, I don't think, you know, I think this goes for a lot of guys in that clubhouse. We haven't seen a guy that young have those good of tools that he has. But the biggest thing is his mentality and you know, the way he approaches the game. He when he's in the clubhouse, he's just another guy. And even off the field, you don't think he's 20 years old. He's really mature for his age. And, you know, you can see mentally how good he handles just everything that's thrown at him in life. He's obviously a top prospect and had a lot of attention come his way, but the way he handles his business and honestly, the first month of the season, he was leading our club, and you can tell he was leading in every aspect of the way. So he's just a special young talent that you know, San Diego's really lucky to have for a long time.
We're talking to Eric Hosmer. Eric, you know, I'm kind of curious. It's a process. You understand this, and you know it's not something that's going to happen overnight or even in your first year there. But at the same time, you're used to winning. You've always won. As manager Andy Green saw it, he felt like maybe you were actually even putting a little too much pressure on yourself, and you were putting the weight of the entire world on your back to try to get the team to win because you wanted it so badly. Was there anything to that? What was that experience like for you last year?
Well, I mean, whenever you're losing, whenever you're not winning, you're definitely going to try harder. You don't enjoy your time when you're losing, that's for sure. So just trying to find any way possible to get out of it, trying to find a way to get the guys out of it, and it just never happened. But, you know, I think that's what the beauty of our club this year is, you know, these guys all have that same mentality where losing's not okay for these guys. And, you know, it leaves a bad taste in their mouth. Like you said, just dropping this series against Miami, you know, I know these guys will be fired up to get in there, ready to work today, and I think that's the motivating thing, and that's what makes it fun to go into work every day because, you know, you're playing with 24 other guys that have that same mentality as you.
So let me ask you about one more younger guy, before I let you go. Fanmil Reyes, another player you've been really high on. What has he shown you this year, especially with the 16 home runs he has already?
Man, I tell you what, this guy's got some of the most amazing power I've seen. You know, I've gotten to be on the World Baseball Classic with guys like Stanton and some of these guys that have light tower power. And, you know, there's about five of those guys that are just in a different class when it comes to power in the league, and where you see these guys hit balls in the stadium. And Franmil and Renfro as well are in that class. And, you know, it would definitely be cool to see, if not both those guys, at least one of those guys head over to Cleveland and do that home run derby. Because, you know, I tell you what, I know we're on the West Coast and our games are a little later, but if the world can see these guys hit some baseballs, they'd be amazed at how far they can hit a baseball, and it'd be something fun to see these guys in the home run derby.
Light tower power is one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
Hitting .291, 9 home runs, 34 runs batted in on the season, leads the team in a number of offensive categories, and the Padres were back at it tonight at home against Philadelphia. Eric, it had been too long. It's great to have you back, man. I appreciate it so much.
No doubt, man. I agree. Always great talking to you guys.
Great talking to you, Eric. Have a great day. Good luck. Eric Hosmer joining us. Good to talk some Padres baseball. And he's having a really nice year. And the young guys obviously look to him. He is a World Series champion, a World Baseball Classic champion, an All-Star, a four-time Gold Glove winner, a Silver Slugger, and that's Ike. Two legends in the same segment, Eric Hosmer and Ike. Let's go to the ATP. JP Rome. There's been a few mentions lately about the generational impact of the show. You talked a few weeks ago about possibly interviewing three generations of athletes in the same family. Today, a dad said that he passed the show down to his son. What about your kids? Do either of them listen to or watch the show? Is there a chance that one of them will one day host the show? Thanks. Mike in Snohomish, second generation listener. Great question. Do either of my kids listen to the program? No. Do either of my kids watch the program? No. No, they're kind of into their own thing. Like, they're proud of the old man. They know what I do. They're kind of into it. But no, they're not really about that. Jake once kind of made an... Jake wants to be in journalism. He wants to be in media. And he once made kind of a... I don't want to say a half-hearted effort. But he probably should have stepped to me a little bit differently. But he kind of came to me once and said, hey, you know, Dad, I could probably help you out. You know, I might want to be in the business. I might want to work with you on the show. I think I can help you. I'm like, really, Junior? You don't know the first thing about sports. You cannot work on the show. Yeah, I mean, I said nicer than that, but I meant it pretty firmly. You don't even like sports that much. You play baseball, but you don't really know sports. What can you bring to the show? It reminded me of the time that I went to my old man and said, I want to work for the family company. And in effect, he told me the exact same thing. No. I said, what do you mean no? Every father's dream is that their son follows in their footsteps to maintain that legacy. I thought that was the answer I'd get. Like, oh, I couldn't be more proud of you. He looked me in the eye. He goes, no. You've never shown any business or interest in this business. No. So no, I don't. Jake's going to go do his own thing. Jake is more about politics and satire than sports. And Logan is only now entering high school. Rogan Loam's going to have to show me. Man, I love these kids so much. Could not love the kids anymore. Rogan Loam's going to have to show me a hell of a lot more hustle and a lot more grit before he gets anywhere near this studio. Same as anybody else. Because I am going to tell them what my parents told me at dinner every single night. Business is business. Business is business. Over and over again. Drilled into me. Hey, business is business. If there's no heart, if there's no grit, there's no hustle, you can't come in this door. Same as everybody else. I love you, but business is business.
Hey, business is business.
Huge call. Brought to you by Cavo. Remote controls. Are they taking over your living room? Then get Control Center by Cavo. The one universal remote that manages all your content. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with the one-year service plan and the promo code Rome at CAAVO.com. Great to talk some Padre baseball. Eric Hosmer came in. Chris Mannix was in. Pierre Maguire was in. 18 days until the smack-off. We will have another smack-off player profile for you tomorrow. My thanks to the XR4TI. What's up, Alvy? Thank you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.